Hi, folks. As you're going to hear on this episode of the Pride of Detroit PODcast, Jeremy's not with us. And when he was away, it's decided that the audio gremlins were going to strike. It's mostly listenable. There's going to be a few places where I skip and stutter and make kind of weird machine noises. Rest assured, I will get that checked out. Need to make sure my processor's working properly. Apologize ahead of time. Just enjoy the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pride of Detroit podcast, the PODcast, where every day is Taco Tuesday, and there are absolutely no wrong answers to the question, is this shirt too big? I am Chris Perfett, the adequate host at Chris Perfett. There, I'm being adequate already. No fearless leader today. He is stuck in Pittsburgh after the loss last night. On Sunday Night Football, he defected to the Steel City. He is eating at Primati's right now. He has put just a mountain of French fries on top of his Reuben. But what I do have here, we're doing the duel version tonight, Dueling Dragons, as we call this version of PODcast, Ryan Matthews, at Ryan_POD. Ryan, my buddy, my true friend.
I would like to refer to ourselves as American Alpha.
Yes. Oh, the hound right. Is away.
Oh, man.
We are the new American Alpha. I'm so sad
yeah,
they
I
broke
mean,
that
let's
team
just,
up.
Let's just make Jason Jordan heal and get over with it, but whatever.
Why? I didn't stop turning everyone heel for no good damn reason. Yeah. Everyone goes heel. It's getting annoying.
You know who went heel last night? Your beautiful boy, A'shaun Robinson.
Oh, my boy. Now, he's heel, but I'm still rooting for him. Note before we get into the recap from last night, apparently there was a press conference and A'shaun responded to everything, every question with just the word football.
Oh, man.
Which is probably, that is A, insanely Alabama, B, just insanely, just, that's great. That's fantastic. It's very,
very
football.
Football.
Insanely football.
Man. Do we have to talk about this game? I guess we can. I don't know. That's been the theme for the past few weeks, hasn't it? Do we have to talk about this game?
Remember when we were in the off season and we were like, man, I can't wait to talk about games.
I can't wait for the off season.
I'm trying not to be mad every game we play. And it's not working, Ryan. It's just not working. I'm getting irrational about this. And I love Lions football. I love it. And I know that as a fan, I'm supposed to get angry. But I can't keep getting angry every time we do these games.
It's not good for your health. There are two things that really upset me about last night. One, the Steelers scored two touchdowns and got to do two celebrations, which were incredible. Le'Veon Bell's bench press was a whole lot of fun, and then Juju Smith-Schuster chaining up the stationary bike on the sideline. A-plus celebrations. The Lions didn't get to do any of those.
What
we don't get to have fun in Detroit.
No, we don't. What was the... Although, I will say, was it Darius Slay who was finger-wagging? What were they trying to do before that touchdown was called back on
it was
a block in the back?
It was
an
offensive pass interference on Antonio Brown. Yeah.
Okay.
What was
he trying to do before Slay
I think
finger
Brown
lagged?
Was just, he was, looked like he was kind of doing some type of salsa type dance. I don't know. He was definitely dancing. Like it was a serious solo celebration. And then, you know, Darius Slay comes over and instead of doing the finger wag, does the finger point. Hey, there's the flag, big guy.
That was perfect, I thought. And probably about the closest we got to joy. because you mentioned that the Steelers got to do touchdown celebrations. Do you know the one place the Lions never went last night? The end zone.
One day they'll make their trip back to Mecca.
Jesus Christ. I can't believe what I saw. I really cannot believe what I saw. It boggles the mind that an offense that finally found its mark. Matthew Stafford threw for 423 yards in this game. He averaged 9.4, no interceptions, only sacked twice. If I told you that on paper, you would say, yeah, the Lions won that game.
Probably, because you make that assumption that, well, 423 yards, they moved the ball an awful lot. I bet you they were near the goal line on a lot of those situations and probably just ran the football in.
And you would be right. That would be right up, except for the fact that when they tried to run that football in, it didn't go anywhere. They tried it so many times. They tried it on that fourth down, and I was screaming. And that's when I decided, you know what? I'm going to watch baseball instead. I'm going to watch this interminable game that lasted, what, 5 hours, instead of watching the Lions embarrass themselves for that final drive.
Oh, man. The only thing that I'm getting any joy out of is thinking about that Joe Buck tweet.
Welcome to the top of the 47th. We've been talking about doing a list cast of like best all-time tweets, and Jeremy says that it wouldn't make for good podcasting, but we need to do it someday because there are a lot of good tweets out there.
There's going to be a week in April during the off season where we do it.
And there's going to be a lot of drill on there as well.
Oh, man. Okay. So here's the thing with the game yesterday. Not a lot of fun to watch, especially because, I mean, unless you're into field goal kicking. I mean, the Lions definitely they got their money's worth out of Matt Prater after he signed that new contract
during the bye week. Hope you had Prater on your fantasy team.
Yeah, he would have got you tons of points. 5 for 5 with a 51-yard field goal to boot. So the final score to this one was Steelers 20, Lions 15.
Oh, thank you. I didn't even read the score. That's just where I'm at.
Really, it was Steelers 20, Matt Prater 15.
Pretty much.
But you know what, Chris? To be honest, I'm like losing a lot of patience with this team. So you know how, you know, I'm saying like, it's not fun because the Lions don't get to do touchdown celebrations. It's not fun because I'm already thinking about how fun the offseason sounds because we get to talk about things that are fun. Like, I'm just not having fun right now. And dropping three games in a row isn't a whole lot of fun.
Well, that's the thing, like, right? Like, last year, we were having a lot of frustrations at the beginning of the year. But then, around this time, we started to have some fun, too. And it's not just because the Lions were winning, but they were just having crazy, insane, stupid games. And, I mean, last night was kind of crazy, but it wasn't really getting crazy in a fun way. Like, it got to the point of just basically being blue balls, like 98 yards in every direction. You could have some fun around there. And it was a high powered offense game. Like, I mean, I said Stafford's line there, Ben Roethlisberger threw for another 300 some yards. Juju Smith-Schuster had that like insane 97 yard touchdown run. Like, this was a high-powered offensive game. It's just that for whatever reason, as soon as the Lions had, like, 6 yards to go, they forgot how to play football.
I'm forgetting how to even think about football because the Lions have broken my brain.
Yeah, I just...
Like, they were moving the football really, you know, through the air at will. And, you know, a lot of the concerns that many of us had, you know, before the bye week during the Saints game and even a couple weeks before then was, you know, can the Lions protect Matthew Stafford? The guy is getting sacked at a, you know, unhealthy rate. He's not going to be able to survive the entire season if, you know, teams are able to generate this much pressure and get to him and knock him down and sack him. Like you said, Chris, he was only sacked twice. I felt like for the most part throughout the entire game, the Lions did a pretty good job of protecting him, of like giving him, you know, time to operate back there. He looked obviously a little bit more mobile than he had, you know, before the bye week with the ankle injury and everything. So maybe that had something to do with it too, but I thought Brian Mihalik played like all right. I mean, I didn't notice any drop off really between him and Greg Robinson. I haven't gone back and watched the tape a second time, but like, you know, considering the guys he was going up against all night, TJ Watt and the likes, I thought he held his own. And it was just so maddening, like you said, though, you know, once the Lions got within the red zone, they just, you know, I don't know. It's so logic defying because this is a team that has played so well in the red zone over the past couple of
and
seasons.
Like I just keep going through the stat line, and you know, Marvin Jones had 128 yards. You would say, okay, great. TJ Jones, 88 yards. Golden Tate, 86. Eric Ebron, we're going to talk about him later. Like every tight end had those drop passes, but Eric Ebron at the end of the game nearly damn well won it for Detroit. It's just that he got tackled 6 yards short of where he should be. And they put, and as I joked on Twitter, it put the Lions right where the Steelers wanted them, in the red zone, unable to do anything. And just, I don't know what you thought about the red zone play calling. And I'm sorry to keep bringing it back up because I just don't know what happened there. They were trying to run on that fourth down. They were trying to run a few other times when they know for certain they can't run the ball. They know by now they can't run the ball. I'm so tired of hearing Tony Dungy and anyone else on these pregame shows talking about how the Lions have to establish the run. They can't establish the run. They will never establish the run. Not with this running core. They will never establish the run. Don't even fucking think about it. There's no reason to. Amir Abdullah, 2.5 yards per average per carry on 11 carries. There's no reason to even think about trying to establish the run because you're not going to go anywhere. So just fucking abandon it. No one will notice. It's fine. Stop trying to do the run. But just other than that, like, what the hell happened in the red zone? Is it play calling? Is it just personnel breaking down? Were the Steelers just that good on their own version of bend don't break? What was it?
You know what? I think it was equal parts coaching staff and player personnel. It was just this perfect storm of suck. I don't even know how else to explain it, but it was so poorly executed. The play calling was rather uninspired. Like, I don't know if you saw the final play that Pittsburgh ran before they were able to kneel out the clock when they had that that snap. The guard pulled, and Juju Smith-Schuster came across the formation in front of Ben, and it was just a quick little shovel pass, and then, you know, Smith-Schuster had 6 or 7 yards just to run up the field. Like, I where are those plays, like, in the Lions, like, red zone offense? Where is, like, the creativity? Because the creativity just goes out the window. Like, the creativity, I guess, is lining Nick Bellore up at fullback. And, like, this was really cute before, and, like, it worked, like, once or twice. And having, like, you know, having Barrett line up there at fullback, like the defensive lineman, like, it was cool. It was neat. It was, like, it was nifty for a second. But, like, you know, those players are, like, Bellore is a linebacker and Barrett's a defensive end. Like, these guys are not, they're not fullbacks. And there's zero creativity that's happening going on, you know, down there in the red zone. So, like, they're trying to literally just line up tonnage and trying to run the football as such. And it's just not, the Lions do not have a power back.
No, and this offensive line isn't built for power running either. It's really not. It's
right,
still,
it's a zone scheme,
even with
Mihalik,
yeah, even with Mihalik playing, it's still not someone that's going to barrel down there. And I'm just going to read a stat line from the Steelers. 7 tackles for losses, 9 passes defended. Like, they won that game. Like, they had some good plays on their defense. And when you got a good defense against that, your only two moves seem to be in the red zone. What? trying to run Dwayne Washington to the outside and throwing a fade to the corner of the end zone?
Yeah. Oh, man. The pass to Marvin Jones' back shoulder, that looked like a catchable ball that he didn't come down with. But also a really tough catch for him to make at the same time. But
do you remember last year, like, when we had Anquan Boldin, Anquan, please come back, like, you'd have these, you know, routes through the middle, you'd have a guy like Anquan Boldin, so you didn't need to go to the corner, you could catch the ball in the end zone. Like, I just don't know why they're not trusting their slot or tight ends to really make those plays. Well, I know for the tight ends why they're not trusting it to make those plays, but I'm just saying, to your point, just have some creativity.
Yeah, the Lions tight ends are the new Tigers bullpen. Like, it's,
we thought it was just Ebron, but it's everyone.
No, the plague has spread. At least it did last night. I mean, Fells dropped a pass in the end zone. Michael Roberts dropped a pass that was probably most likely catchable. It's disappointing. It's disappointing for a team that, you know, they had 482 yards of offense against Pittsburgh, and that was their season high. You know, their previous high was 367. The difference was they just couldn't put the ball in the frickin' end zone.
Yeah, just 5 yards is all that ever. But I'm just shocked, like, every time. And we can talk later about the coaching staff and some of the decisions, when to go for it and when not to go for it. And everyone's got, like, a billion different answers on that. And I don't know. How do you, like... It gets really hard for me to go back and think, okay, they should have gone for it here, but oh no, this fourth down go didn't work, so they shouldn't have gone for it there. I can't do that kind of Monday morning quarterbacking.
I don't want to even get into that kind of Monday morning quarterbacking.
It is literally, it's not Monday morning, but it's like Monday afternoon / evening, and we're not really feeling it here. But I think we're going to take a quick break here. We're testing out some new software, so I'm going to give us a chance to make sure that the gremlins didn't eat our audio. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Eric Ebron, whether or not he's played his last game as a Detroit Lion. Stick around. Welcome back to Pride of Detroit PODcast, where you are allowed to have as much candy as you want. All the Halloween candy you can have, we will not judge you, as long as it's not candy corn, you disgusting cretin.
Shout out Kyle Yost.
Shout out Kyle Yost. We were trying to get Kyle on this podcast because we lost Jeremy in Pittsburgh, but he just wasn't able to make it, unfortunately. Kyle also wants to know, like, do people even know? We keep bringing up Kyle Yost's name, but he's wondering if people even know who he is.
If you don't know who Kyle Yost is, then we can't be friends.
I mean, he does write more for POD right now than I do.
A lot of people write more for POD than you do, Chris, but you're a very busy growing boy, so...
I'm insanely busy, and I'm trying to make the turn and start reporting about esports.
So right now, what you should do, though, is you should go to Twitter and you should follow Kyle Yost at @KYE_ILL.
Especially if you're a Michigan fan.
Yeah, especially if you're like a Detroit sports fan in general, or you're a fan of taxicab stories.
And baseball.
Baseball, yeah, if you're a fan of baseball too. Or soccer. Kyle loves soccer.
Especially Tottenham.
I just like them because they're... Isn't there like the mascot, the Hotspurs or something like that?
They don't really have mascots in England. It's just the name of the club is just Tottenham Hotspur.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, I don't get it, but it's what it is.
Okay. I don't think I'm supposed to get it, so.
That's fine. Okay. What we are here to get is Eric Ebron, who is probably just played, I don't know, this was his last game last night. Am I correct in saying that?
I would think that you're more likely to be right than you are wrong. I think with the report from Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, mentioning that Eric Ebron was, quote, almost surely to be traded before Tuesday's trade deadline. I think that something will come about of this. I'm not 100% sure, though. I know I just saw the latest thing was that Dave Burkett mentioned that Ebron's locker was still full and that there wasn't any,
yeah,
wasn't any
I know.
Movement on that end.
You're going to be
so,
listening to this probably on Tuesday once we release it. So, I mean, you'll have a little bit of time to find out. I really don't know what to think about it, really. It feels like the relationship has pretty much soured. Eric Ebron, he didn't really get a lot of targets in this game.
Well, I mean, let's see. He had
He had 6 targets in today's game, yeah. In Sunday's game. That was actually his second most amount of targets he got all season long.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which kind of surprising, but once again, 6 targets but only 2 receptions. He had his hands on a pair of footballs that probably should have been caught but didn't, and Ford Field let him hear it. I mean, it was a really typical game. Eric Ebron's one of the few guys in the league that plays 16 away games.
I mean, they were giving him. They keep calling. I can we tell the people on these broadcasts to knock it off, saying things are Bronx cheers. Please shut the fuck up.
Al Michaels loves calling it a Bronx cheer.
We get it, New York. We fucking get it. Get the fuck off my ears. But no, those last two, when he actually caught those ball, those last 2 times, we were all saying, oh my God, it looks like he's going to be the hero of the game after being a goat. And unfortunately, he just did not run a few extra yards, and the Lions had to play out of the red zone. And we know how that turned out. But I mean, the 2 that he did catch, it was like, okay, fine, here's the Ebron we've been waiting for. But I don't know if that really justifies it. And to be honest, it's clear his role is just not working out right now. And it's clear that the fans have just all turned on him. So if he wants out of Detroit, I really, really can't blame him.
I don't think a lot of people can blame him. This is just a relationship that has gone so sour that doesn't it kind of feel like it's past the point of being repaired?
Yeah, I'm just sure there's going to be an SOL person out there who's going to watch him and he's going to go somewhere and have a pretty promising season or something.
Absolutely.
Or something.
Absolutely. That's the thing, though, too, though, Chris, is that the people were ready to even look into Kyle Van Noy's career. Like, once he went to New England, it was... I mean, but we do this with almost every player. And I use we in a loose sense, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, just sometimes things don't work out for players in certain situations. Didn't work out for Kyle Van Noy. I don't care that he had a sack or whatever in the Super Bowl. It just didn't work out for him here. And it's probably not working out for Eric Ebron. If he goes somewhere else, you know what? He's a cool guy. I like his personality, and I really rooted for him here. I thought he fought with the fans a little bit much, but I thought that he's genuinely an interesting person, and you don't have a lot of those guys in the NFL, and when you do, sometimes their careers just are cut short. And for whatever reason or another, like, he just has not caught on here. And look, we just talked about it last segment. Every tight end was dropping balls last night. Not just Ebron. I don't know. Part of me, like, still wants to defend the guy, but I really can't, because he's had some real stinkers this year, and you can have a couple of bad games, but it's been year after year, and rightly so or not, it's not something that seems to be working out between him and Detroit.
And the production just hasn't matched up right, and who knows if it ever would have. You know, and that's the thing about having expectations, and, you know, with him being the first round pick, 10th overall, as a tight end, everybody expected him to come into Detroit and to be a main focal point of the offense. And I think that even before the broadcast last night on NBC, you know, I think Rodney Harrison made mention of, you know, Eric Ebron's got to be a focal point of the offense. Like, I those days are long gone. I think last year, you know, Ebron was able to avoid the Achilles injury. He came back. He eventually started playing. He had his most productive season when it comes to, you know, statistics. 61 catches, 711 yards, but just the 1 touchdown. And that was the touchdown total, I feel like, was what the people, like, latched onto next. Because, you know, first it was the drops, and then the drops narrative kind of went by the wayside for a little bit when it was like, well, he just needs to be a bigger part of the offense. And then, oh, Calvin Johnson retires. Okay, this is Eric Ebron's opportunity. Well, now he's not catching the touchdown passes. I mean, he had a pretty good catch percentage rate last season, 71.8%. That's a really good catch percentage rate for a tight end. Like, but then again, like I said, the expectations of a guy who's drafted 10th overall, he might not ever be able to live up to those expectations that, you know, people had for him in Detroit. And I think you're right, Chris, that if he goes somewhere else,
he can kind of play free of those expectations, and he doesn't have to really meet up to any kind of standard other than, you know, whatever the price it's going to cost to get him to another team, potentially, if he gets traded on Tuesday.
And unfortunately for Ebron, and unfortunately for all of us with a goddamn brain, this is now, you talked about the narrative morphing when it comes to Eric Ebron. I fear that forever in the minds of Detroit fans, kind of like we did with this with Darko Milicic. Same thing with him. We could have had Carmelo Anthony. We could have had Dwayne Wade. Now it's, oh, we took Eric Ebron and we could have had Odell Beckham Jr.
Could have had Aaron Donald.
Yeah, or Aaron Donald too. Yeah, I've completely forgot. Same draft. That's right. Yeah, shit.
But that's what it is. It's all about what could have been. And the only reason the question ever becomes, or, you know, the only reason it ever becomes what could have been is because that person didn't live up to the expectations, or they didn't have the type of production that those other names did. And I don't mean that. I don't think that's necessarily. Hold on. I have a big mm-hmm. question to kind of pose to you. And it might be kind of difficult to answer on the spot, but if Eric Ebron is traded on Tuesday, is Eric Ebron considered a bust in Detroit?
See, I can't call him a bust. I'm sure some people will call him a bust because of those expectations you talked about. But, I mean, he was a serviceable tight end. I didn't see his scores from this game yet. But, I mean, he had a couple of big blocks last night. He had two good catches. And you talked about him last year, too. People aren't realizing this is only his fourth season in the National Football League, too. I just think that it's soured so quickly that people have just decided they don't want to even wait to see if he even, you know, evolves or matures or whatever word you want to use. I don't want to say matures because that sounds incredibly loaded for a guy who's 24 years old, but I feel like that they're just not willing to wait around and see if there's any further development in his case.
You know what? I don't think I can call Eric Ebron a bust. I think when I think of busts, I think of players who, you know, either for whatever reason, maybe when it comes to just durability or in terms of just, you know, health, maybe they weren't able to stay on the field at all whatsoever. Or I think about players who, like, truly just completely, like, flamed out of the league. Like, Eric Ebron deserves to be in the NFL, and he deserves to be, I think, a starting tight end on quite a few teams in the NFL. I think a lot of teams would really benefit to have a guy like Eric Ebron on their team. For whatever reason, though, I just don't think it's worked out in Detroit. And I don't know. Expectations can be, they can be a real crusher, I feel like. I mean, I think a lot of people forget that these athletes are all human just like we are, you know?
Dude, we see some crazy people. We've gone through it every now and then. We've seen some crazy people who just tweet all day at Eric Ebron. There was that one guy you found.
Man. Yeah.
Was that who was like, he was there at the birth of like his grandson or something.
Yeah.
And he decided to take a picture of his grandson and is like, well, he already thinks Eric Ebron is a bust. And he's tagging Eric Ebron in on this. And it's like, dude, get a fucking grip of your life. But that's the kind of people Ebron has to deal with every day, every time he opens his phone. And I know he's a millionaire. I know he's supposed to be used to that kind of stuff. But you tell me that you would be able to endure all of that nonstop for your entire life, and I will call you a fucking liar straight to your face.
Yeah, there's no amount of money that, I mean, the guy literally became a father during the bye week, and all of the top replies to his, you know, him tweeting out a picture of his son were, hope you don't drop him in the delivery room, or, you know,
that's vile.
It's terrible. It's disgusting stuff. Like, but like, I agree with you, Chris. It does not seem like something that no amount of money could ever get me to not let things like that affect me. And I go back to what I said. Eric Ebron, for the past couple of years, he's played 16 away games. Because the fans just relentlessly boo him. Like, I was there for the Carolina game. When he dropped a couple of passes in that Carolina game, especially the one in the end zone, I hadn't heard a stadium boo like that since I couldn't even tell you. Maybe like, and I mean, obviously the football stadium is much bigger, but I'm talking like LeBron showing up, you know, in Detroit for those like battles, like in like 06 and 07.
Oh yeah, like the Palace, when the Pistons were still playing. Yeah, yeah.
Right, when the Pistons were still a good and relevant team, you know, they're back to their, you know, Eastern Conference supremacy now. But like, I mean, these were boos that were like, that are specifically reserved for like players of like the, put this into perspective. I don't think Cam Newton, and this was coming off the week where Cam Newton made his comments during the press conference about the female reporter knowing routes. I don't think Cam Newton got, you know, the type of boos and that Eric Ebron got that week.
No. And you know, like, this is what pisses me off, because one of the things people say about Detroit all the time, it's supposed to be a great sports town, right? It's every time someone wants to just honk off Detroit and the people not living in Detroit, but around Detroit, what they do is two things. One, they call it a great sports town. Two, they talk about how tough Detroit is and how hard Detroit works. But to speak to, again, the former, like, I don't know how you can be a great sports town if you are just, well, okay, I guess every great sports town does this to its people, too, quote-unquote great sports town, because Philadelphia, great sports town, they fucking ruthlessly attack their own players sometimes. Boston, holy fuck, we've talked about how bad Boston is to play as a fan. New York will eat you alive. Like, some of these fans in Detroit, like, if someone gets on your case, they don't let up. And I would prefer to see, like, a great sports town to be a little more understanding of it, and again, have some goddamn perspective when a guy's son is born, to not tweet at him, hey, will you drop your kid too?
It just, there's no place for it, like, anywhere. Like, I don't know. I forget sometimes that sports aren't real life and that people don't treat them like they're real life sometimes.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of the magic of it, is that they absolutely try to warp to become unreal. And when reality does intersect with the unreal, that's when we have all these problems. That's why we have all these people who get mad at the protests, who get mad at Eric Ebron trying to have a goddamn life. Like, kind of in the same vein there. Before we jump out of here, though, I do want to say, because again, we're all speculating as if he's gone. I think he's going to be gone after this year, no matter what. The Lions are probably not extending him, and he's probably going to walk somewhere in free agency. But in case the Lions do end up unable to trade him, just how do you see the rest of his time in Detroit playing out?
Well, this is how it's going to work out, because he, you know, the Lions did exercise his fifth year option, but if they choose to cut him at the end of the year, they're off the hook. So, I mean, I think I kind of tend to agree with you, Chris. I think that, you know, you're looking at, if Eric Ebron isn't traded by Tuesday's deadline, you know, these are the last 8 games or the last 9 games that he's going to play as a Detroit Lion. So,
yeah,
he has to play. Like, it's not like they can't, you know, they're not going to bench him, or they're not going to, you know, they're not going to do anything like that to him by any means. I don't think they'll cut him before the end of the season. That doesn't make any sense. Eric Ebron's still a good player, and he's a fine contributor to a team. And he, like I said, he belongs on an NFL roster, but with the Lions, man, it's just tough for him to bounce back. He's one of those players, and it's such a dumb, stupid cliche, but he really needs a change of scenery. Like, he needs to go somewhere else for his sake. Well, and I think for Lions, take his fans place right now, too.
Because everyone has been saying, oh, Darren Fells can take his place. I don't know.
They're different players. Like, that second catch that Eric Ebron made, that, you know, he took all the way down, you know, near the goal line.
Yeah, he can't go. What was that? Darren Fells can't do that. Yeah, I don't.
Eric Ebron.
Neither Michael Roberts nor Darren Fells can run the ball 44 yards.
No. And I mean, Eric Ebron, that, you know, that blend of size and athleticism and speed was kind of all on display right there for that play. You know, the way that he was able to get away from that defender and keep moving the ball towards the goal line. So, and I don't mean to fetishize and kind of shine up Eric Ebron a little bit more than he's played it, because I think we've kind of gotten to that point here in this segment. I mean, I want to make things clear. Eric Ebron has not played well this year.
but he hasn't played. He hasn't. No, he has not. But he has not played nearly as bad as, you know, some of Lions fandom and some of Lions Nation will make the claim that he has. So,
yeah, people will just assume that he's just like a black hole and nothing will ever come out of it. That is just, you know, abandon all hope. But like there's been glimmers. It's just not been enough, and that's what I think makes it frustrating to keep having to relitigate Eric Ebron each week. We have to relitigate him in an article on Twitter, on Facebook Live, because someone wants to start this argument.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right, we should probably take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk less about this game, I think, more about football in general, unless you want to talk about Jim Bob Cooter. I don't know. What do you feel, Ryan? Pass? Okay. We'll do something fun or more football related when we come back, and then we're going to get into your mailbag. Back here again on the Pride of Detroit PODcast, where the ads talk to you. They're very friendly. Thank you for enjoying our ads, keeping us afloat. I don't know how much longer that ad game is going to be in place. We keep talking about this Patreon idea, but I don't know if it's really going to take off, Ryan. But hey, guys, if you would be interested in subscribing to a Patreon, let us know. Just let us know. You know where to find us on Twitter, at Ryan_POD, at Chris Perfett. We're thinking about doing this because we want to offer a ad-free version, and we also want to offer some additional content, although for my schedule right now, that's really damn well hard. I can't even make First Bite yet, but we're working on it. It's a work in progress.
But that's me, though, so that's on me. Trust me. I'll give you guys all the tent that you can handle.
Damn.
Lots of great tent.
It's got a great little tent here. Pitching a tent. Let's kick back a bit. I'm so tired of talking about the Lions and the oppression. We were saying at the start of the show we want to have fun again. Maybe I can start with this. This isn't football related. We got some football stuff coming along, but Ryan, I know I should not be overreacting to 7 games, but how are the Pistons at the top of the East?
I think it's the Avery Bradley effect.
Avery Bradley.
I think when you have a guy on your team who's just an absolute dog, like he is the guy that you would want on your team because he just does everything. Like he does all these little things, and he's just, I don't know, I feel like he might just be a lightning rod for this team. Like this team is kind of legit and for real now. I'm sorry, we're 7 games in. They're first in the Central Division. They're first in the Eastern Conference. They're 5-2. I'm willing to say it. And I said this before the season to some people, and they laughed at me. But my hot take was that the Pistons were going to be the 4 seed.
And again, I would say to you, the 4 seed doesn't make me excited. Seeing them near the top and Cleveland's like struggling at 3-4, that makes me a little more excited because it at least shows that LeBron James and his cohort are vulnerable. And the Boston Celtics, I mean, I see them as vulnerable. I see everyone in the East as mortals. So that makes me a little more excited about the Pistons. And who would have ever seen 2 years ago tell me Tobias Harris is going to be the leader of this team? With every other player the Pistons had going into this great, grand experiment of Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond and Stanley Johnson, that it was going to be Tobias Harris.
It wouldn't have been me. I know that. I don't know. So the thing that's also kind of flown under the radar, Andre Drummond shooting 70% from the free throw line.
50% field goal percentage.
Yeah, and I'll gladly take Drummond shooting a worse field goal percentage if it means he shoots 70% from the free throw line. I know that's not sustainable by any means, but
I saw that 50% is like a team leader.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure, that makes sense, but still, I mean, I think like his like career field goal percentage is up near like 55. So,
oh, really?
I don't know. I would even take a reduced field goal percentage from him if it meant that I was even if he's shooting 50% from the free throw line. Like that's you know, that's to the point where nobody will follow him. Here's the big storyline though, Chris. Mm-hmm. Boban, one game played, just 4 minutes.
But is that it?
No, that's it. Like, it's kind of like free, like hashtag free
and
Boban.
He's the green cigar. We need to break him out a little more. I'm going to the game on Tuesday. They're in the Pistons will be in town to play the Lakers. Lakers tickets, thanks to the fact that they have been miserable for a few years now. They are tickets are fairly cheap. They're nosebleeds, but I can still get them $20. And yeah, I'm going there. It's gonna be Halloween night. I expect to see Boban and his bat ears. And yeah, it's gonna be fun. And I'm ready to root for my Pistons. I don't have my jacket with me though. You know, I love the Lions, but the Pistons were my first Detroit team. They were my first. I was a little tyke in 94 on the court for warm-up shoot-around. I got to pass the ball to Grant Hill. I love the Pistons, man. I love the Pistons.
I have to ask you, though, Chris, who are you truly going to be rooting for? Are you, like, are you that burnt out on Wingstop?
Wingstop is only for Lakers away games.
Oh, okay. Well, then this clearly... Yep. You have a rooting interest and you can stick
absolutely.
To it.
Absolutely. No, no. Like, so we should probably tell people who don't know. Okay, the joke is in the Slack. Me and Jeremy get a lot of free Wingstop because we sign up for these promotions in the LA area, which includes every time the Rams win a game, or sometimes when the Rams are just about to start playing, we get 5 free boneless wings with a large drink, which, I mean, that comes out to be like, what, $3.50, $4 or so with taxes. The other time we get those free wings is if the Lakers score more than 100 points during a road game, which has actually only happened so far once this season, I believe. They were on the road with the Suns with 100, and I think they put up like 132 against the decrepit, completely falling apart Suns, but yeah. No, I'm going to be there for the Pistons. I'm going to be rooting for the Pistons and probably get shivved, but...
That's fine. There was a really good... Just the last thing I need to say about Wingstop real quick. Shea Serrano had a great tweet last night. Somebody sent him a picture that said, here's the first thing on your registry. And it was a photo of Wingstop, but it was boneless wings. And he said, don't you ever send me a picture of boneless wings again. This is domestic terrorism.
That's awesome. Well, we've talked about the Pistons. I'm sure there's going to be some hockey heads out there who demand we talk about the Red Wings.
Yeah.
They have 11 points.
Let's check out the hotline on the Wings. This would be a 97.1 bit where you hit the dial tone.
Burp. The Detroit Red Wings have 11 points and they are fourth in the Atlantic. Burp. That's it. That's all I can't. Look, man, once you get out of the Midwest and Northeast, it's really hard to care about hockey.
I like how this was supposed to be the fun and happy segment, and we're talking trash about the Red Wings.
Well, that's just it. We were having fun with the Pistons, excuse me, and then we tried to balance it because I know the hockey bros are gonna be like, dude, let's talk about hockey. There's your hockey talk.
You know what? You want to talk hockey talk? I'm going to the Griffins game this Friday.
Ooh.
So,
oh God, is it $2 pizza, beer, and hot dogs?
You betcha.
Oh my God, I want to go. I want to meet up with Evan again. Let's just get sloshed and go to Founders.
Yes. Grab another Devil Dancer.
Oh God, I have never shit fire so hard in my life after eating that. Folks, never. I don't care if you like the spicy food. Do not eat the Devil Dancer sandwich at Founders in Grand Rapids. It will kill you. It nearly did me.
You should have washed it down with a Devil Dancer.
I should have, but I was too far gone at that point. I had way too much. They didn't have Miller on tap, so what was it? What was I drinking? I was drinking Labatt Blue, and I think I had like 6 of them at the game. And then I had an IPA before then, and then we were there, and I was trying to wash down like a porter or something, and it wasn't working for me.
I can't wait though. It's a lot of fun. The Griffins are I don't know how well the Griffins are
who
doing.
Cares?
I'm not too plugged into them this year.
Who cares?
Who cares? I get to see my beautiful boy Shvednikov. So
no, I mean, who cares? You're getting $2 hot dogs and beer.
This is another great point. $2 hot dog sandwiches, $2 beers.
What more could you want?
What more could you want? Let's talk about the NFC North,
Chris. Let's talk about the North. Let's talk about the insert Game of Thrones references I do not get because I do not have HBO. Kings in the North, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The Vikings beat the Browns, your Browns.
Yeah, it looked for a second there like, hey.
No.
The Browns. All right.
No, go ahead.
For a second,
I'm sorry.
I was like.
I didn't mean to cut you off entirely.
I know, but that's how every Browns game feels, though. Like, you just get cut off entirely. Like, at one point, it's like, hey, you know, it's like it's 13-12. Yeah. I mean, the Browns might say, no.
Meanwhile, the Packers were on a bye.
No.
So were the Rams, hence my inability to get wings today. But enough of that. The Packers were on a bye. And, hey, if anyone thought the Bears were going to be good at all in this, they just took another L. I mean, it wasn't that bad of an L. I think Jordan Howard kind of had 100-some yards rushing or whatever, but cool. They lost 20 to, how do you even get a score of 12? They got 20-12 against the Saints.
Mitch Trubisky threw the ball 32 times, and I think that's like 6 times more than he'd thrown like over the entire course of the season so far.
Yeah, remember when we were talking about why aren't they letting Mitch Trubisky throw? Well, they let him throw, and you know what he came up with? 14 out of 32 for 160 yards.
And an interception.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I didn't even notice that. A 36.9 QBR.
Mm. Growing pains.
Sure.
He's this year's Jared Goff.
We should have asked to have Rob on again. I keep talking about putting... Is that another character that people know who we're talking about? Do people know when we say Rob Zaglinski who we're talking about?
If you want to, just go back to last year's...
No, we had him on in the preseason, I thought. We had him on a preseason first bite.
Yeah, we did, but he was also a part of the infamous... Wasn't he part of the infamous Punta Cana episode?
No, he was not. No, I would have...
No, he was! No, he was. You know why? Because that was the preview podcast, because we played the Saints the week before, and then we played the Bears, and he was part of the preview podcast. I don't know. But so around the NFC North, the Bears clearly seem, I mean, they did hold the Saints to 20 points. I don't know if you want to count that as a victory, but their offense is still just inept as it has ever been. So I think they'll continue to kind of fade into obscurity. But the Vikings seem like, I mean, it's their division, right? They're 6-2 at this point. It kind of seems like it's theirs to lose.
Yeah, they've won 4 in a row. Their next few games, like, they've got a couple of rough games ahead of them. They got to play the Rams, but they get to play them at home. But then they have 3 road games, Lions, Falcons, Panthers. And, I mean, is this Lions team good enough to sweep the Vikings?
I don't know. I don't know.
We'll
you know,
see.
Vikings have 8 games left. I think that if the Lions stand any chance at winning the division, the Vikings need to go 3-5 over their last 8 games.
I just don't see that happening. Like, they've got a pretty decent schedule. Like, they're going to have the Packers before Rodgers comes back. They're going to get to play the Bears one more time. They get to play the Bengals.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who knows about Falcons, Panthers. Those two are kind of toss-ups on how good they're going to be in a given day.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have fun this segment. We took it around the NFC North, and we just claimed, you know, we just...
Pistons, baby!
We just crowned the Vikings the NFC North
Pistons.
Champs, but let's crown the Pistons the Eastern Conference champs. They're going to be the number one seed.
Someone made a great joke on Twitter just about, like, you know, hey, NBA executives sitting here wondering what would happen if the season ended this year, trying to figure out the revenue for a Detroit-Memphis finals.
Oh, baby. Love the sound of that.
Yeah, let's go to the mailbag. We'll be right back.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Mail time. Hashtag ask POD. I was trying to get, going to have a thread up. And like all things in my life, I did not get it up. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to remove it. God. What? What'd you do?
You did everything. I'm so proud of you, Chris.
What? Just completely just... I'm my brain is so scattered. I'm so tired some days.
I know it is, Chris.
Well, let's go to our Twitter mailbag. As always, hashtag AskPOD at Pride of Detroit. Jeremy's not here, so we're going to hold off on the reviews. Can I instead talk again about the Lucha Libre burlesque show I went to?
I think you can. I'll allow it.
Well, let's get to the question here first that is related to it before I even bring that in. Josh LaFond, the enemy of the show. If you could pick one WWE or luchador burlesque person as the new offensive coordinator, who would you choose and why? So, for those who, like, yeah, I should probably explain the joke. I, Wednesday night, if you followed me on Twitter, you would know that I went to, it's called Lucha Vavoom. If you are ever in Los Angeles around, like, Valentine's Day or Halloween, I heartily recommend going. It is a very weird show. It's a very Los Angeles show. And to credit, it was both burlesque and Lucha Libre. And it would alternate between the two. Jeff Davis was there from Harmontown Podcast. I think didn't Jeff Davis used to be on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
He could have been. Yeah. I'm not real good with my Whose Line Is It Anyway history.
I think Jeremy told me he was on Harmontown. That's kind of why I know him. But I was also like four Palomas deep that night too. So yeah, tequila.
Fair enough.
But it was very fun. It was very weird and definitely enjoying it, except for the part they had these like Odorama things, these like scratch and sniff cards. And I should have known this was coming. They had several comedic characters, including Joey Ryan, who you might know, Ryan.
Oh, I know Joey
and
Ryan.
He was partnered with Dirty Sanchez. And when you have a guy like Dirty Sanchez, who is clearly supposed to be a sexual innuendo character, and all of a sudden he does something in the ring and they tell you to scratch and sniff, that's a key not to scratch and sniff. And I scratched and sniffed. Snuffed. And it was not enjoyable.
This sounds... I don't even know if this was actually as ridiculous as it sounds.
It's far more ridiculous than it sounds, believe me. I wish I could have recorded...
Yeah, no, I can.
I wish I could
totally
have recorded everything.
That.
There were three guys dressed as a chicken. There was, like, a little mini, which is, like... Lucha Libre loves their, like, little people wrestlers. And one of them was dressed as a piñata. And there was another guy named Matt Classico, who looks like a blue demon knockoff with his own mini called Matt Classico Jr. So like,
I can't believe you remember all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Tequila's a wonderful thing. What was the question again? Offensive coordinator. It's too easy to go with like Jesse Ventura.
I don't think it's too, do you think that it's too on the nose?
Maybe. Brock Lesnar once played football.
Brock Lesnar did once play football. Roman Reigns played football at Georgia Tech.
Didn't Seth Rollins play as well?
No,
I don't think
maybe.
He did. Someone else played for Georgia Tech. I can't. Oh, Goldberg played for Georgia.
He did. He also played for the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. What's your answer, though?
I think my answer would be... Triple H.
Ooh, the game.
Because then it would give the home team more reasons to play Motorhead. Like Ford Field, every time I've been there this year, they've played Motorhead at least once. And man, if they played that before the beginning of like the home team's final drive, I think that would give the home team such a great advantage.
Absolutely.
So
let's see here. Let's go with James. Would you rather live in Atlanta or Houston, and why? And yes, this is something I've got to consider. James, I'm going to tell you from personal experience, I've not lived in Houston, but Atlanta is very nice. I'd go with Atlanta just because Houston just went underwater. That's kind of a big thing. Like, I know Atlanta a couple of years ago, they got like a couple inches of snow and they had like massive car pileups on I-75. But I think Atlanta overall is like, there's no rising seawater that's going to kill you in Atlanta. Not yet, at least. The food is just as good. It's a very cool multicultural city. It doesn't smell. I've been told that Houston smells something fierce. And both are very populous cities, but I think Atlanta is just a little more pleasant to live in. The only downside is that you are never going to want to fly to connect on a flight out of Atlanta Airport. But I'd say Atlanta.
I don't have any input whatsoever. I drove through Atlanta once, and like most people who have driven through Atlanta, it was hell. So
yeah. But Houston, I've heard, is just as bad on the driving. You've got two major cities that are just not equipped with the rig to handle the rigors of modern metropolitan American life, I feel.
So option C is move to Vancouver.
Oh, Vancouver. Yes, yes. The correct answer to any of these questions, move to Vancouver, British Columbia. It's beautiful. I like LA just fine, but Vancouver's still probably... Okay, after Wednesday night, after the Lucha Vavoom show, it's
neck
one,
and neck.
It's 1-1A. It's just that I would not die of 110-degree weather in Vancouver.
Oh, quit your complaining.
In late October.
It's so cold here already.
Nick Ola, Pistons aren't using Boban this season. Thoughts on if we sign him and just have a 7'3" tight end stand in the end zone with his arms up?
This is a phenomenal idea.
I like this too much to say no.
And don't we think that Eric Ebron, I mean, when Blake Griffin signed his contract last NBA offseason, Ebron tweeted something about how he messed up by not being a basketball player. Maybe both players can get what they truly want.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely would.
Boban gets more playing time. Eric Ebron gets a chance to make some big money. It's a win-win.
Look, he wouldn't be the first basketball player to come over here. I just think he'd be the first. What country is he from again? I sound so bad asking this, but I should know this.
You're going to turn me into an awful...
You don't know either?
NBA fan. I mean, did you see I changed my name on Twitter to Huge Pistons Fan?
You did? He's from Serbia. That would have been my first guess.
I think that you should definitely... I think that the title of this podcast should be Boban for Ebron?
Oh, that's almost too mean, but I will do that. Absolutely, I will do that. Okay. Let's go with John Whitaker. What's the worst sports injury you've ever witnessed live?
This one's really easy for me. Well, actually, I don't know if it's really easy, but I know this is kind of brought about by the Zach Miller one. Did you see the Zach Miller injury?
Yes. Oh, not the Zach Miller one. I was thinking of the Gordon Hayward one, though.
No, that one's really bad. The Gordon Hayward one is bad, but that's not even the worst basketball injury I've ever seen.
No, I've got two potentials for worst basketball injury, but I don't even know if it's my worst injury. But go ahead. What's your...
My first one with a bullet is Willis McGahee in the national championship game. Was it 2002? The U versus Ohio State when he gets his knee sent back the other way. That one is disgusting. My worst basketball injury is Sean Livingston. Both of them knee injuries, so clearly I have some squeamishness when it comes to knee injuries.
So I'm going to give you my two runners up from basketball, and then I'm going to hit you with my top one. First, Paul George hitting that backstop.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Probably the worst basketball injury, though, was Kevin Ware.
No, I didn't want you to bring it up.
That was disgusting. That's like, yeah, one with a bullet.
That doesn't even count.
Really?
Doesn't even count. Oh. Yeah, just because it's so off the rate, like you can't even count it. Like it's the worst injury ever.
Fuck. Another runner-up was Anderson Silva. Did you ever see him when he was boxing?
Oh,
yeah, where he like kicked the one guy.
Yeah, where he kicks him and his like shin wrapped around his leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay, those are all limbs breaking. I'm gonna give you one that's even more disgusting, and it's from hockey. It's Clint Malarchuk. Have you ever seen it where he gets his throat slashed by a skate and he's just there's just blood everywhere on the ice?
Yep. Yeah, that's bad. That's why you wear your neck guards, kids. Yep. I know it's uncomfortable, but that's why you wear them.
That's my A number one is Clint Malarchuk, just because there's just so much blood. Like, Silva and Ware are, like, up there, but I think Malarchuk beats them both, just barely.
I think there are a couple of injuries, like, in terms of hockey injuries, Scott Stevens hit on Paul Kariya, where he concussed him. Like, those injuries are kind of, like, disturbing, or, like, Javid Best when he had his concussion at Cal. Those are more so disturbing, but, like, disgusting. The Kevin Ware one was so bad. The way that they like did like the Lion King memes.
Were people actually doing that? Holy shit.
Yeah, where they were putting Rafiki like at the end of his like bone that was sticking out. The internet's a disgusting place, Chris. You know this.
No, please don't do that. He's a college kid. Why would you do that? He wasn't going to the NBA at all. Why would you do that? Okay. Evan at Big Slick McDick. What do you guys think of apples? I know they're big this time of year, but I think they're way overrated.
I think I'm allergic to eating apple skin.
What?
Yeah, like I can eat apples, but I can't eat the skin on apples. I think I'm allergic to apple skin.
You're a child. You have to have your crust cut off too?
No, like, because the only way I eat my peanut butter and jelly is in a flour tortilla now.
You son of a bitch. Okay.
Are you big on the apples? Like, I'm big on the apples.
I love Granny Smith and Fuji, but Granny Smith, like, are nice and sour. So, yeah, I'm down with the apples. I also really love apple cider, both regular and, yes, like, hard cider, like Strongbow. Best thing the Brits have made. And I'm all down for the apples.
Down with the sickness?
Ooh, David A. Mara, have you ever had to take a mid-season break from the Lions and skip watching games purely due to frustration? If so, how many weeks?
I can't. It's my job to watch the Lions. I can't not watch them, or else I can't podcast.
I think I took a break like actually a year or two before I started this whole gig. I think it was, what was the year that Jim Schwartz got fired? 2014?
2013.
2013. 20. Really? Yeah, that's right.
I think Caldwell's first year was 2014, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I came on board in 2015. So yeah. That was like, they went, what? It was 4-12 that year or something? Something ridiculous like that.
Wasn't good.
No, it was like they started strong too. I think they started like 3-1 and they dropped like nearly all the rest of their games. That one I took a break. And I think that break lasted up until I tried watching the Philadelphia game, that snowball. And then I just took another break entirely.
No, I mean, I don't know. I can't take a break from it. Those people on Twitter that, you know, talked about boycotting the NFL and, you know, not watching on Sundays anymore. Like, I just know that those people are liars, because even though I know I have a gambling problem and I know I have an addictive type of personality, I know that I would be able to, like, give up NFL football if I truly tried, but I couldn't. Like, it's just part of, like, what I do. And I know those people don't have the kind of willpower that I do.
Yeah.
So.
I,
And that's those are just facts.
Just in general, it's just a matter of what's a good product, what product I want to watch. And like, look, sometimes I want to watch baseball, sometimes I want to watch basketball, sometimes I'm watching StarCraft like I was doing this weekend because I'm trying to cover the esports. I'm trying to be hep with the kids and not lose my place in this world. Like, I don't know. I really don't know, but I just sometimes I need a break. Sometimes football just gets boring. I like a variety of different things, and sometimes even covering the Lions here, I kind of get into a bit of a routine. And I don't know. I kind of rail about the off season, about how we kind of have like 20 weeks and then it's over and done with. But at the same time, too, like if football was going year round too, I would probably just I don't know, man. I really don't know. Let's see here. Taylor McDowell. Does this recent loss, quote unquote, end the season? Or do you think they can build off of this?
No, they still have 8 games left.
It's insane to think about that. But yeah, you're right. Kind of similar questions about running the table. Looking at the Darren Ramey. Looking at the weeks ahead, can we run the table? Can we bring this up? Because I saw someone else tweeting out today about, like, they were looking at the schedule ahead, and it's like, you know, name me one, I would hear like to hear one good argument why the Lions shouldn't win every game.
And your reason for that, Chris, is?
This is the fucking NFL, it's not college. You're not supposed to fucking win every game. You're not, tell me that there are, I mean, with the rare exception of like the absolutely great teams, what teams out there can just go ahead and win 9 straight in the National Football League?
Chris, you're getting a whole lot of silence on this end from me just because I don't know how to even tackle a question like this.
That's the one thing that just made me mad from today. Like, there was a lot of things behind the scenes that were making us kind of mad about certain things that we are absolutely not going to talk about here. But that when I saw that come up, I'm just like, you can't be serious. You've been watching too much college football. You've been watching too much Michigan. You cannot apply these, like, we just need to win 8 games straight, because that doesn't happen in the NFL. It absolutely doesn't, unless you are like the Patriots. And guess what? You're not the New England Patriots or the Detroit Lions.
Chris, all the Lions have to do is win 9 in a row, and they're 12-4.
Yeah, math checks out.
The math checks out, but then even if that does happen, the Vikings will go 13-3 and win the division.
Well, they can't do that, because then I think Yeah, that would work out because they only play us once. That's right. Okay, fine. I'm stupid. I'm sorry. I'm trying to remove it. All right.
Yay! You did it.
Yeah, I did your drill tweet. Harry Mraz, if you could replace any starter with the reanimated corpse of Patrick Swayze, which would it be? That is dead air.
I want to have a good answer for this. I want to have a better answer than I'm going to give.
All right. Well,
I'm not replacing Jay Cutler in Miami. I won't do that. The NFL needs more Jay Cutler.
Does he mean? I thought he meant like on the Lions team.
Oh.
Specifically
on the Lions.
What was the question? Reanimated corpse of Patrick Swayze.
Any position on the team?
Starter.
Fullback.
You want to talk about the other hot take you saw today? The Ryan Matthews Stone Cold
Lord.
Hot take of the week.
The Ryan Matthews Stone Cold Hot Take of the Week. Yeah, no, it was... My phone... You know when your iPhone gets too hot and it throws up the thermometer and it's like, iPhone's too hot, can't use it. That's what happened.
This take was picante. Picante.
Muy picante. Do you have it up?
I do not, but I know it off the top of my head. Yeah, okay.
Go ahead. It essentially boiled down to fullback wins.
It was. Like, I'm scrolling up to find it right now, and I have to scroll past all of us mocking mocking Mike Payton about his WrestleMania thing. Okay, I don't want to read his name. I don't want to read this verbatim because I don't want to insult him. And I love him, but just if it boils down to if the Lions still had Michael Burton, the Lions would probably be winning more than they have this season.
Look, I don't know about you, but I don't see the presence of Michael Burton being on this team as something that would sway the Lions' victory from, oh, say, 3-4 to 4-3 or 5-2. That's insane to me. Like, this is a position that the Lions don't even really utilize
all
that much.
Who in the NFL does? Right? Like, no one's using fullback. It's fine. You can ditch the fullback.
What the Lions can't ditch, though, is the running game, Chris. They have to establish the running game. They have to get 100 yards out of Amir Abdullah tonight.
Yeah, no matter if it takes him 30 carries.
I think I might just start tweeting that out on, like, Wednesday nights.
The Lions have to establish. I want to do that now, too. just randomly tweeting out on a given night at a given hour, the Lions have to establish the running game.
Amir Abdullah has to get off the schneid. He has to break this stretch of Lions running backs who have not been able to rush
for
100
yards.
Magic
fucking powder. Magical thinking, man. Last question here from Ryan Cullins, who I want to read his handle here because it's good. Shafty Von Hack.
Wow, you know what? That actually holds a candle to at Big Slick McDick.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there. What hurts, getting butterfingers stuck in your teeth for hours, hitting your forehead with a hammer, or a loss with 5 field goals?
There's nothing painful about butterfinger being in your teeth because it's kind of relatively easy to get out. You just don't have to. I mean, it's irritable, but I mean, like, it's a good thing because, like, you get it out and then it's like, oh, extra candy.
What kind of hammer are we talking about here? You talking a claw hammer?
Yeah, are we talking about a rubber hammer?
Like a mallet? Like a hammer for nails? What are we talking here?
I don't know.
I think that makes a lot of difference, yeah.
Yeah, and then the third option was watching a game where you kick 5 field goals.
Yeah.
And lose.
Yeah, I think I would go with claw hammer. And if it's not a claw hammer, the loss with 5 field goals. Let's say you, Ryan.
Chris, the Lions just have to establish the running game tonight.
Son of a bitch. Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit PODcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Ryan Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd, IamBrianSHEPARD. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Starside.